Well, if you have your Bibles, can I invite you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, just for a few moments, Mark chapter 4, and verses 30 to 32. This is that wonderful little parable of the mustard seed. Mark chapter 4, commencing our reading at verse 30. This is God's word. And he, that's Jesus, said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." We pause our reading there, verse 32. Back in 1989, a man was rooting around a flea market in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, America. Eventually, he made up his mind to purchase an old painting for $4. As you can imagine, the painting itself was pretty awful. A dismal, dark country scene, complete with a signature at the bottom that was so blurred it couldn't be made out. But it appeared to have a gilded and ornately carved frame, which was what caught the eye of the buyer. So he returned home, and he started taking the painting apart to get the frame, when he discovered something hidden in behind the canvas. It was a folded document, which was evidently very old. Carefully opening it up, the man discovered that it was, in fact, a copy of the Declaration of Independence, being one of only 24 copies made on Independence Day, July 4th, 1776. It ended up selling at auction for a cool $2.4 million. You see, things are not always as they appear. And this is precisely Jesus' point about the kingdom of God. This wonderful little parable teaches us that appearances can be deceiving. And that's true when it comes to the kingdom of God. Just two short, simple lessons. Firstly, God's kingdom starts small. God's kingdom starts small. The focus of this parable and the one before it is the kingdom of God. But what exactly is that? Well, put simply, the kingdom of God is the redemptive rule and reign of God in Christ. In other words, it's the realm of salvation. And here, our Lord, he wants to explain what that actually looks like. Now, perhaps like me, you would have expected Jesus to compare his kingdom to grand and glorious things. So I can imagine him saying, well, the kingdom of God is like a mighty mountain range in its strength. Or the kingdom of God is like the vast ocean in its depth. But surprisingly, here he compares it to something that is very small, very humble, and very ordinary. A simple mustard seed. Seems very strange. You see, the mustard seed in Jesus' day was proverbial for something exceedingly small and easily overlooked. So this then was and is a shocking comparison, but it was also an accurate one. Think about it with me. Think about Jesus himself, the one who had come to announce and inaugurate this kingdom. What humble beginnings he had, entering the world as a feeble infant, born in a lowly manger, without riches or armies or attendants or power. Then think about the disciples, those who belonged to this kingdom. They were so few in number, just for the most part ordinary, poor, uneducated, fearful men. And then think about the world around them. You know, compared to the other religions and all the cults of the Roman Empire, well, frankly, the kingdom of God was so small and so insignificant, it was almost invisible. So yes, Jesus was right, wasn't he? The kingdom of God really was like a mustard seed. And brothers and sisters, perhaps as we consider the kingdom of God today, in our time, well, it still looks pretty small and weak and insignificant. There can be no doubt about it. We are living in the day of small things. Here in the West, opposition to the gospel is growing. Many churches are in decline. New converts to Christ, they seem so few and far between now, don't they? Think about your own situation as a believer in the Lord, your own work and witness for Him. For most of us, the cold, hard reality is that often we see very little fruit for all our labors for Christ. Yes, we try to speak a word for Jesus in our workplace, and we try to keep on teaching our children and our grandchildren the truths of the Bible, and we try to keep on praying for the lost. But for all our efforts, we've got very little to show. And perhaps as time has passed, well, we've grown pretty discouraged. But our Lord would have us remember this evening that His kingdom is like a mustard seed. He wants us to grasp that His kingdom grows quietly, slowly, often imperceptibly, below the surface, in a host of unseen ways. That's the nature of God's kingdom. That's how Christ normally builds His church. That's how the Lord usually does His work. What a great encouragement. It means God is at work in our lives. And He loves to take our stammering tongues and our feeble service and our faltering prayers to make His kingdom grow. So don't lose heart and don't give up. Keep sowing the seed. Keep teaching your kids. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep praying for the lost and for mission. Why? Because our God delights to bring great results out of small beginnings. That's the kind of God we serve. So God's kingdom starts small. Then secondly, God's kingdom spreads spectacularly. God's kingdom spreads spectacularly. Now in verse 32, Jesus explains that from this smallest of seeds comes the largest of garden plants. You see, this minuscule mustard seed will, in time, grow to almost 10 feet tall. And as it grows, it spreads its foliage out so widely that the birds can come and build their nests there. And it's just like that with God's kingdom. It began to grow from the very first day of Pentecost. Do you remember? It grew back then with staggering speed and power. It grew when 3,000 souls were converted at once, 5,000 more a few days later. It then grew in Antioch and Ephesus and Philippi and Corinth and Rome. My friends, it has continued to spread and extend, outgrowing, outliving every empire this world has ever known. And even this evening, its branches are extending all over our world, in places like Poland and Portugal. And that's just what Jesus said would happen. That's what he means when he says, the birds will come and perch in its shade. He's actually quoting from Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 23, explaining that the birds, the nations of the world, will enter and enjoy his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, this great gospel growth will continue unabated until one day when all his people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation will rise on that great last day to shout the praises of Christ our King. And on that day, that glorious final day, the kingdom that began as a little mustard seed will finally be in full bloom. And as the Apostle John prophesied, the kingdom of the world will have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Friends, we know how the story ends. The last line is already written. Christianity will win. Evil will be destroyed. And Jesus will reign. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. This is the grand, the glorious, the rock solid, the absolutely certain future that awaits us, the people of God. Now, doesn't that vision put some fire in your belly? Some steel in your bones? Doesn't that encourage your heart? Especially as we think about those still outside the kingdom, loved ones, whole nations without Christ. Yes, there are great needs and tremendous challenges and so few people to reach out, but with this great vision, this wonderful promise that God's kingdom will grow, we can play our part in this grand missionary enterprise with confidence, with courage, with conviction. We can be bold. We can be brave in our evangelism. We can pray expectantly. We can give extravagantly. We can even give up our very lives and go. Why? Because the Lord is sovereign, and Christ is building, and the Spirit is moving, and nothing and no one will stop our great God. Not even global pandemics. Isn't that good news? So let me encourage you then, brothers and sisters. Press on. Seek by God's grace to redouble your efforts, to recommit yourselves to the work of the gospel here at home, in Portugal, to the ends of the earth. And let's do it all for the honor and the glory of Christ, our great reigning King. Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts.